Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, February 6th, 2019. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Idaho House passes agricultural land annexation bill. Now heads to the Senate. University of Idaho President Chuck Staben reports to Faculty Senate on Professor Bennett suspension and vandal alert. Bill in Washington legislature to limit cannabis billboards. And Moscow Council votes to keep farmers market vendors fees the same for the 2019 season. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho Senate Local Government Committee voted to send a bill to the full Senate that would require consent from the owners of agricultural parcels larger than 5 acres before a city could annex their land. The bill has already passed in the House. Jerry Mason of the Association of Idaho Cities did not bring up major objections to the bill during the Senate committee hearing, but suggested lawmakers rework some of the language to clarify processes for landowners who don't want their land annexed. The Idaho House State Affairs Committee voted today to introduce a constitutional amendment requiring the addition of a seventh member to redistricting commissions. These six-member commissions meet every 10 years to draw legislative and congressional district lines. Currently, half the members are Republican and half are Democrats. 4 votes are needed to pass a district map. Under the bill, the state's current statewide elected officials would choose the seventh member of the commissions. Bill sponsor Republican Representative Stephen Harris of Meridian said, "We want to avoid this perpetual deadlock. There are obviously some partisan ways of doing this. I want to avoid that if we can." However, the redistricting commission would almost certainly have a 4-3 Republican majority under the constitutional amendment being offered because almost all statewide elected officials in Idaho are Republicans. The vote to introduce the amendment was along party lines. Democratic Representative John Gannon of Boise told Harris, "You indicate it's a political process. Wouldn't it be better for the people of Idaho if it was a non-political process and some kind of independent look at the problem of reapportionment?" Which is really what 64% of the voters did when they approved the constitutional amendment we're looking at today. University of Idaho President Chuck Staben defended the campus-wide vandal alert issued last week, in which he implied suspended journalism professor Denise Bennett was dangerous and banned her from the University of Idaho campus. The alert was issued a week ago today. Staben told the University of Idaho Faculty Senate yesterday the alert had nothing to do with harming Bennett's reputation or preventing a student-organized sit-in, which had been scheduled for about an hour after the alert was issued. Staben and University of Idaho Provost John Weinseck answered questions about Bennett's suspension and the January 30th vandal alert, saying Bennett was barred from campus. The short message sent out to student and staff phones and email addresses said Bennett was barred from campus because of, quote, recent admittance to police of meth use and access to firearms. If seen on campus, call 911. The following day, President Staben and Provost Weinseck issued another alert in an effort to defend the initial vandal alert. The first vandal alert did not say it was referencing a November 4th police report on a domestic dispute involving Bennett, in which she allegedly told police she had used meth the day before. The police report noted the firearms were being loaded into a car, implying they were not being used to threaten anyone. College of Letters, Arts, and Social Sciences Interim Dean Sean Quinlan placed Bennett on administrative leave January 24th after Bennett sent an email to school administrators complaining about the lack of maintenance of broadcast equipment in the university's radio TV center where she taught and her inability to spend grant money allocated to her to make a documentary on LGBTQ lives in Idaho. Bennett live-streamed a video January 29th criticizing the administration, in which she read a letter she received from the university detailing why she was placed on leave. Among other things, the letter prohibits her from contacting students. Several faculty members said at yesterday's Senate meeting, the wording of the alert appeared to be designed to discredit Bennett, with others wondered if the timing of the alert was intended to disrupt the student sit-in organized in protest of Bennett's suspension. University of Idaho Sociology Associate Professor Leontina Hormel said, "I don't know what meth had to do with any of this other than labeling my colleague in a very severe way. It would be very hard for her to be able to return to work and be treated with respect if that would have been an option." Staben said the police report was public record and the alert was only issued to preserve campus safety. Staben said a university threat assessment team approved the wording of the alert. The team recommended releasing specific information communicating the seriousness of the situation. The Daily News reported last week University of Idaho officials and police did not consider Bennett violent or dangerous the day of the alert. Staben said the use of meth was included in the alert as the drug is, quote, associated with a lack of impulse control and violence. He said, "This was not done to negatively affect the person about whom the alert was sent. It was done to protect those who might be at risk. It wasn't done lightly." Hormel said, according to law enforcement, there was no indication Bennett was dangerous to campus. Provost Weinseck responded, saying, "So fundamentally you wanted to wait until shots are being fired before we issued a vandal alert." Staben said vandal alerts have been problematic in the past. Hormel said many who received the alert were not familiar with the ongoing conflict between the university and Professor Bennett. Hormel said, quote, "Those people could be forgiven for thinking there was a clear and present threat to campus." She said, "At the very least, the alert eroded the image of the university during a time of enrollment difficulties." Hormel said, "It seems as though it put us at risk in so many ways, including economic risk, because I know that there are parents that are worried now about what us faculty are like. It diminished a lot of different levels of trust." University of Idaho Statistical Science Associate Professor Michelle West said she was worried whether other university employees could have their police histories released in an attempt to discredit them if involved in a conflict with school administrators. West said, "Given all that's happened since then, would you include that type of information in a future vandal alert? Could other faculty members have records dug up that are not relevant to the current situation?" Staben defended the decision of the threat assessment team to issue the alert because the situation involving Bennett was unique. He said, "In this instance, for the reasons and knowledge that we had at the time that we made that alert, we decided to do it. Frankly, in that situation, I believe it would be important to do it again in that situation, and I cannot fully describe all of the parameters of that situation." You're tuned into the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. The Washington House Commerce and Gaming Committee considered a bill yesterday that would place a statewide ban on the types of advertising licensed cannabis stores can display on a billboard. Federal restrictions already ban marijuana stores from advertising on radio and television. Strict state restrictions took effect in 2018 that prevent cannabis businesses from advertising to minors, allowing businesses to display only their name, location, and the fact buyers must be 21 or over. Committee members said they were concerned with the proliferation of cannabis billboards. Democratic Representative Melanie Morgan of Parkland said, Every 2 to 5 miles, there's a billboard advertising marijuana. There's too many, especially for our children. Billboard industry proponents argue cannabis businesses have the right to promote their products. Mike Lewinstra of Lamar Advertising said, "The people of Washington have already spoken. They vote for marijuana to come out of the shadows." Lamar Advertising employee James Worley said marijuana stores are a large part of his company's business in Spokane County. Worley said, "If cities, towns, or counties don't want cannabis advertising, they should adopt local ordinances." The Commerce and Gaming Committee is expected to make a decision whether to send the cannabis billboard bill to the full House. Moscow Farmers Market manager Amanda Argona told the Moscow City Council Monday night that the market had 125 aggregate vendors during the 2018 season, and city costs for putting on the market went down by about $10,000. After hearing the Farmers Market end-of-season report from Argona, the City Council Monday approved a staff recommendation that the market not increase vendor fees for the 2019 season, which starts in May. The Saturday Farmers Market had implemented an amended fee structure at the beginning of the 2018 season and implemented a new vendor handbook for the first time then as well. Market manager Argona said the recommendation to keep vendors' fees the same came from data on the market's costs and revenue during 2018.
So 2018 market costs and revenue, this is actually what, after looking back what we budgeted for 2018 and what was actually spent, programming came down quite a bit, and so did staffing. So market costs were pretty on par, and you can see the vendor percentage, the contribution from the vendor fees was at 42%, and the city percentage was at 58%, so it's a little bit higher than what we initially estimated.
Argona told the council city staff would like to move forward with fully implementing the market's strategic plan, something which has been delayed.
The strategic plan was developed before I came on, but major challenge area 3 was inequitable and inefficient allocation and distribution of market costs. And so we're really actually doing quite well as far as actions and strategies and where we're at in the strategic plan. And basically, we would like to get back on track with our measurements and deliverables, specifically towards the bottom, developing that multi-year plan and approach to fee recommendations. We had slated July 2017 for that, and our plan and our goal is to have that be July 2019 of this year to have a multi-year plan. We're looking at about a five-year projection.
That was Moscow Saturday Farmers Market manager Amanda Argona speaking to the Moscow City Council Monday night. Council members were told the decrease in market costs are a result of restructuring, which included getting rid of the arts director position, which oversaw the farmers market, and replacing it with an arts program manager and a farmers market manager. The council vote to keep vendors' fees the same for 2019 was 5-0. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming mostly clear tonight, low about 7. Sunny tomorrow, high 26, wind chill values as low as 2 below 0, southeast winds around 6 miles an hour. 60% chance of snow Thursday night, mainly after 4 a.m., increasing clouds, low 19, half an inch of accumulation possible. Friday, 1 to 2 inches of snow possible, 80% chance of snow, high 28. 60% chance of snow Friday night, mainly before 10 p.m., new snow accumulation less than 1 inch possible, otherwise cloudy, low 22. And 60% chance of snow Saturday, less than 1 inch accumulation possible, otherwise cloudy, high 26. Currently, 11 degrees. If you'd like to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP. Be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. Reminder, the Spring 2019 KRFP schedule is now available on a click-through on the front page of the KRFP website. I'm Lee Robartis, Kurt Morrison assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. Coming up, the weekly news magazine Between the Lines, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30, What's the Frequency, Kenneth, is on the air, your weekly newsical. And music begins in earnest at 8:30 p.m. with Grateful Dead Through the Decades. Also, Midweek Massacre with metal music at 10 p.m. Have a good night. KRFP Moscow Pullman. Community Radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
Love's Kombucha is proud to support KRFP Radio Free Moscow. Love's Kombucha is a fun, lively, fermented probiotic tea that is craft brewed right here in Moscow. For more information, visit loveskombucha.com.